Time now for the Six Rings Postgame Show, presented by McFarlane Energy. Breaking down everything Patriots. Now, here's Fitzy and Hart on WEEI.
Hour number three of the Six Rings Postgame Show with Fitzy and Hart rolls on live here on WEEI, WEEI.com. and the Odyssey app, and we'd like to remind you that the Six Rings Postgame Show is brought to you by McFarlane Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil delivery, as well as expert HVAC services. That's McFarlaneEnergy.com. And bringing a little energy to the postgame show right now, joining us on her way back from Gillette Stadium, where she had a chance to share her thoughts. I believe her column right here at WEEI.com just posted recently, Drake May's debut was flawed, but mostly a success. I think we can all concur with that. It's the fabulous and talented Miss Megan Ottolini. Hello, Mego.
Are you not entertained, Fitzy?
I was very entertained.
Is that why you are
here? Were you not very entertained? I thought it was tremendous. I thoroughly enjoyed what I saw out of our quarterback of the future, Mego. I think the Patriots, it's early to judge, but I think the Patriots got themselves a live one here. And while I would have liked to have, now that I see what he has to offer, I believe I would have liked to have seen him earlier in the season, but all that being said, pretty solid debut in an otherwise uneven effort from the Pats at large.
Yeah, I would honestly say outside of Drake May, like, just pretty bad all over the place. Drake May was really like the shining beacon of hope through this game, and I don't want to take away from that because that's the most important thing. This whole season to me is about the rookie quarterback. I'm sorry, but you're not going to be a playoff team. You're not even going to be a fringe weirdo team out there. I think maybe if Drake continues to grow from this week to week, you'll maybe hit the over on 4 wins. But other than that, like, this whole season to me is about developing your quarterback of the future. So I'm just very excited that we took the first step and that first step came with 3 touchdowns.
And isn't it even simpler than that? A week ago, we watched what I think many of us, I'll speak for myself, thought was the worst football game we've ever seen. This week, we had, I don't know, entertainment value, excitement, felt like we were playing 2024 football with an athletic quarterback who could actually throw the ball down the field. Maybe we should just start at entertain me on Sundays between the hours of 1 and 4, right?
Absolutely. And I think it's like, it's definitely tough for some fans who are looking at it and saying this is a 20-point loss at home. And you want me to be excited about that. You want me to be happy that the game is entertaining. Yes. But it's a step forward from where we've been for the last 4-plus weeks. And really from where we've been for the most part for the last couple seasons. So, yeah, like, I do think that you should be happy to be entertained. I mean, going off that, though, I think that Drake May today looked pretty much as advertised. When he showed his talent, it looked like who knows what the ceiling's going to be. He has so much athleticism. He has so much talent. And he has real chemistry that he seems to be finding with some of these guys. But, you know, I wrote this in my column, like, Mac Jones, because, of course, you have to make the comparison there. Yep. Mac Jones came in as a first-round pick who had a really high floor, very polished, very professional. And comparatively, Drake May is like kind of like a haunted house with trap doors in his floor, where, like, if the bottom falls out, it can really fall out, and it'll be a turnover. But again, the ceiling looks so high that I much prefer this experience.
Megan Ottolini at Megan_Ottolini joining us here on the Six Rings Postgame Show. Mego, you had a chance to speak to some of the players in the locker room after the game, yes?
Yes.
Okay, I'd like to actually get a real feel for what was going on in there. Obviously, Jerod Mayo was harsh on his defense, said that he felt like he let his quarterback down. Drake May seemed pretty upbeat about the effort as well. What was the general vibe and mood in the locker room after the game?
You know, we still lost. And again, it was a 20-point loss at home, so I wouldn't say that it was in any way celebratory. There were a couple guys in there, Kayshon Boutte, DeMario Douglas, who got their first touchdowns as NFL players. And so, of course, those guys are feeling good about that. But overall, the players I talked to are just so incredibly frustrated, as we all are, by these penalties week to week. And I thought that Jerod Mayo right after the game sounded pretty pissed off. And I talked to someone about that, and he was like, yeah, you know, he's kind of given us some leeway over the last couple of games to find our way after these losses. But now it's kind of like S is hitting the fan, and we got to figure this stuff out because it's totally unacceptable.
So, Mago, big picture, I think we all should focus on Drake May, and it was fun, and he's the future, and today was the first day of the rest of our Patriots' lives. But sort of, if you're looking at this season on a competitive level, how disappointing has the defense been? I mean, it feels like they never get the stops they need in close games, and then today they were kind of just crappy for the first couple drives, and that set a tone for the rest of the day for the Houston offense. And that was supposed to be the side of the ball that, I don't know, has veterans and is going to help them win games. I know they've had some injuries, but if we're looking at this season as week-to-week winnable games, that defense has been pretty underwhelming.
Yeah, I look, they're certainly not a unit that I would look to at this point and go, they're going to win the game for you the way that we thought maybe they would, at least one or two games coming into the season. And even at that time, I thought people were kind of, you know, making assumptions with Matthew Judon gone and then Juwan Bentley going down about who this defense was going to be. I agree. What's been so disappointing about them is the lack of discipline over there. Like some of the freelancing that you see guys doing on defense or getting a pass interference call. I know the first one, people think it's a little ticky-tack, but the second one, you can't do that against offenses that are as dynamic as the Texans against a quarterback like C.J. Stroud, because it's great. Okay, you guys make two stops, and then on third down, you have a pass interference that moves them down the field, and boom, in both of those instances, you get touchdowns. And so to me, the injuries and the Jarrell Pepper situation, obviously those have a tremendous impact on the defense, but I think the defense is maybe the biggest example of what's tough with this team overall, which is they're so sloppy. The execution is so sloppy. And you just go, God, like, can we just get through this game with, I don't know, four penalties? Like, can we get through a game like that? To me, that would be another real sign of progress.
Megan Onalini joining us here on the old Six Rings postgame show. Yeah, I don't understand where the I thought the slop would get cleaned up. I never thought that the Patriots, you know, we harped on it for a long time. Oh, the notion, Mego, nationally, that's just not Patriots football, when in fact making mistakes, offsides, too many men on the field, et cetera, bad special teams play. These things had become the norm in recent year. And now, after we were told that all offseason long they would actually cure these ails, they seem to be getting worse.
Yeah, and again, I do think a lot of that has to do with them suffering injuries week after week. Some of the stuff going on with the offensive line is the most obvious, but now I think we're really seeing the accumulation of the defensive injuries. I will say on the bright side, it was great to see Kyle Duggar back out there, and I think that he's the kind of guy who has gotten the green dot responsibility and can help clean that stuff up. I know some people are looking down the pipeline and saying, like, well, maybe Christian Barmore will be back later this season. I just wouldn't hang all my hopes on that, because, you know, it's not just about a lack of really high-end talent that you're missing with the leaders on defense. It's just the total disarray. And I think when it's like that on game day, multiple weeks in a row, you have to look at the coaching staff. I understand that the players are the ones on the field and they're the ones that are executing, but there's clearly, if the coaches are messaging correctly, something is getting lost in translation. So that's where I'd look for that.
Mego, as a noted Commanders fan, are you dreaming of a Super Bowl between Jaden Daniels and Drake May down the road sometime with this historic QB class that we might be seeing?
That would be awesome. I'm not going to go so far, because the Commanders did lose today. It was, I don't know if you guys know about this, but it was a big beltway battle between them and the Ravens. That's a really big game. And they lost it, but I thought that they hung in there for the most part. I think it's honestly, like, and this is jumping ahead because we're making really big assumptions off of what I thought was a really, really good day from Drake May. But what's really cool to me is being able to see all these rookie quarterbacks seemingly developing really well. Because didn't you guys feel like, with the exception of Joe Burrow, of a couple guys that have flourished, you go into these drafts and you go, oh my God, like four out of these five guys are just not going to be here in 5 years.
Yep. You know? I love it.
Or they're going to be a journeyman. So it's very early in these guys' careers, but the idea that maybe we could look at this entire rookie class of quarterbacks and say, like, oh my God, greatest draft class since when? Overall, I just think that's a really good thing for the league.
It's fun. Mm-hmm. It adds to the pre-draft process, because there were so many people that were like, what are the chances that the third best quarterback, and there was all these, like, the third pick has never been a great quarterback. And it's like, maybe they're just all good. Maybe this is three good young quarterbacks, and then you mix in who knows what Bo Nix and
he's not having the best day today.
Rattler played today. Yep. I mean, this could be a historically good QB draft class. Now, I will say what that sets teams up for is a future mistake when everybody talks themselves into, hey, remember in 2024, there were like six of them that are good, so we can force six into the first round this year, and people will make mistakes. But for the here and for the now,
but Andy,
joy.
Andy, who cares? Who cares if New England and Washington both got those great quarterbacks in that draft? Let everybody else make their mistakes.
You and I, Mega, we're on the same page. We got ours. Screw the rest of y'all. Not our problem.
Well, all the Pats will be
good
making.
Luck.
Yeah, good luck with that. Exactly. The Pats will be making their way to London next week for what could actually be a very winnable game for them, Mega, when they take on the Jags. You and I can continue reviewing the Drake May performance, the team-wide disappointment, and maybe take an early peek at the London game tomorrow night when you and I are on the air from 6 to 7:30 right here with the evening program on WEEI. Appreciate a couple of minutes today. Great column that can be read at WEEI.com. And as always, give her a follow at Megan_Ottolini. Enjoy a feed-up, ice-cold beverage type of Sunday night, and I look forward to talking to you tomorrow, kiddo.
All right. Thanks, guys.
You're the best, Mego. Thank you. Megan Ottolini joining the Six Rings postgame show. 617-779-7937 is your telephone number. More of your calls when we get back. We'll continue discussing some of those issues that need to be addressed on the team. Maybe take a look around the rest of the league as well. 645, Shime Time checks in with the first ever Drake May report card. Then we will get into Andy's thumbs up and thumbs down. And next thing you know, it's going to be time to throw it to Sunday Night Football. But first, I throw it for trending sports news to Joe Braverman.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Well, new quarterback with the same result for the Patriots as they fall to the Texans at home. 41-21, your final score. Pats had four turnovers on the day, nine penalties, and the defense was carved up by the Houston offense. 368 total yards, three touchdown passes for C.J. Stroud. In his first career start, Drake May did look pretty good. 20 of 33, 243 yards, three touchdowns, and two picks. Pats fall to 1-5 in their fifth straight loss. They'll now head overseas to London to face the Jaguars next week. That's a Sunday morning kickoff of 9:30. Some other scores going around the NFL for Week 6. As Mego mentioned, Ravens won a battle at the DMV over the Commanders 30-23. The Bucks blew out the Saints 51-27. And currently taking place right now, the Lions are absolutely destroying the Cowboys at Jerry's World 34-6 as they are in the third quarter. The Sunday slate wraps up tonight with the Bengals taking on the Giants. You can listen to Westwood One's coverage of Sunday Night Football right here on 937 WEEI-FM beginning at 7:30 following the Six Rings postgame show. Related news, old friend Tom Brady is expected to be approved as Raiders minority owner in an owner's vote on Tuesday. Game one of the NLCS starts tonight with the Dodgers hosting the Mets. Kodai Senga will face Jack Flaherty with first pitch set for 8:15 from Dodger Stadium. Meanwhile, the Yankees announced their starting rotation for the ALCS against the Guardians. Carlos Rodon will get the start tomorrow night for Game 1. And the Celtics preseason continues with the second night of a back-to-back against the Toronto Raptors. None of the starters will play. That means you won't see Tatum, Brown, Holiday, White, or Al Horford. That tip-off is in a little less than an hour from now at 7 o'clock. I'm Joe Braverman, and that's what's trending on WBEI and WBEI.com.
Doesn't get too quick snap here. Here goes May. Ball deflected. Picked up and on the move. Hunter Henry into the secondary. And then tackled by Eric Murray. A catch and run of 30. Down to the 28.
Patriots realizing we were talking about the Texans defense didn't want us to show any more of that package. So, hey, let's get the ball snapped early. Get a throw to Hunter Henry in the middle of the field. Pick up a big game. Get down into Texans territory. Go down and get some points.
A little bit of the call today from Kevin Harlan and Trent Green on CBS.
By the way, I love Kevin Harlan, but they kept calling Jerod Mayo Jared.
Yeah, I was just going to ask. I thought I read something about that on the old Twix platform. Andy, how was the broadcast overall?
Not great. And calling a head coach by a name that isn't his, calling him Jared.
Oh, thank God I went to Jared. And
he also said Jacoby Brissett has been incredibly helpful this week.
Yeah, Jacoby's been a good example for him, and that's what Jared Mayo talked about as well.
We got someone on the morning show calling him Gerard. We got someone on the broadcast nationally calling him Jared. Just call him Mayo, Coach Mayo. Just make it easy. Can't get that wrong unless somebody says Coach Mayo.
It's also a little weird.
Coach Mayo.
He's a former player. He was an All-Pro. He was a top 10 pick in the NFL draft. It's not like he came out of nowhere and he's this dorky video assistant right. who somehow became coach. He's been a notable member of the New England organization for, what, 15 years going back? So,
it's been a minute.
What's the issue, guys? It's not that hard.
No, it's a pretty simple name, Gerard.
Yeah, that's
well,
the other
because, well, because Judon's gone, they needed another name. You yeah, remember last year one. How they would call him Judon?
Judon.
Yeah, where yep. did that they, come from?
People are stupid.
You know what? There are some people that are not terribly smart. There are. And there are also some incredibly smart ones. Like our friend Dan, who calls us from Rhode Island tonight to check in on the outlook for the rest of the year following May's debut. How are you, Danny?
Why can't we just go with Silo King? I keep telling you, that works perfect.
Silo King. I kind of like sneaky
Time Lord.
Love that.
It's like Time Lord. It has a little, it has a thing to it, you know?
It's one of those if you know, you know type nicknames. I dig it.
Yeah, exactly. So in my 55 years, I don't think I've ever been so satisfied with a blowout loss from any team in any sport. And
it's true.
So today, for me today, we always knew that May was good. Now it's going to be a matter of how good is he going to be. And I think starting today, the clock officially starts to count on his rookie contract. And I think the point moving forward, if they lost like this every week, I could care less. They could go 1-16. For me, it's all about acquiring assets to make this guy as good as he can be.
Yep.
And as long as they stay in the top two, three, so they can trade out if someone's going to get Sanders, you as whatever. You know how that works. Go from 2-7, 2-8. You can still get what you want and plenty in return. I want to see somebody like DK Metcalf next year here. You know, that level, you know, 5-35 per AAV, whatever it ends up being. Because they're in a spot now where they're in the driver's seat again if they play it the right way. My only apprehension is you know, I'd rather see somebody like the kid Adam Peters in Washington right now, because what's going to make a team great again is drafting and finding somebody like, you got to get the George Kittles in the fourth round. You got to get the Fred Warners in the third round. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Guys like that, guys who are going to be all pros, Terry McLaurin in the third round. They need to have somebody who's going to pick the groceries, and you got to have a lot of hits. Even though you got the guy, that's going to make you a Super Bowl team again. And I'm just not convinced that Elliott Wolf is really that guy. I mean, that's the only apprehension I have. But I'm so happy right now, and I could, again, if they go 1-16, does it really matter if they go 4-13? Just stay in the top three. Stay where you can get a ton of picks and get everything you need and give this kid absolutely everything he needs to succeed. And within maybe even next year, if they play the cards right, this could be a playoff contending team, just like they're doing in Washington and Houston. You just got to play your cards right. That's it, guys. Have a great night. Take
Danny
care.
And Cranston, thank you very much for the call, my friend. I want to get back to that in a second, Andy, but I'm not sure if you saw. There's a couple monitors with various games on here in the studio. Scary scene down in Dallas. The NFL leader in quarterback sacks, Aiden Hutchinson, part of Detroit's excellent defense as they're just taking it to the Cowboys in the third quarter. They were saying it looks like it could have been, they called it a nasty scene, said could have been a compound fracture.
Ooh, don't want
to see that. You hate to hear
that.
That's awful.
Yeah,
that is just terrible.
We've had a couple of those today. I guess I haven't seen the latest, but I know Jim Harbaugh has a health situation. He had to leave the field, and then John
Coach Harbaugh,
he's being tended to medically, and John Harbaugh ended his media availability because his PR person said, you have a phone call that you need to be on right now or something. So there is some health issues within the Harbaugh family, and
yikes,
that sounded like a big deal.
Ooh, geez, that's very unfortunate. But
yep,
you know, that now that does sort of beg the question in a game like that. Touchdown, Bo Nix. Look at that. He's actually bouncing back, looking a little better.
Bo knows.
So that begs the question. Oh, to his old Oregon receiving pal, Troy Franklin, no less. So it begs the question, when you're in a game like that and you're up four touchdowns, remember last year, don't forget, Judon, as we called him, Matthew Judon, got hurt in the Dallas game. Bad injuries happening down there. But Judon got hurt late in that game, and it was 34-3 at that point. This game's 37-6 or 34-6. So you know, is that when you start pulling starters, or do you just leave them in there because, you know, it is football, it's a contact sport, so what are you supposed to do?
I mean, in a blowout, I would probably be pulling my elite players, my star. I mean, C.J. Stroud didn't finish the game, right? Davis Mills comes in, and you replace your quarterback, and teams often do that with the quarterback when they're up big or down big. We saw it with Drake May earlier this year against the Jets. It's hard because then there's always like, well, who do I pull? Like, who's important enough? And now are you creating this weird hierarchy? But I think everybody knows Aiden Hutchinson is a huge piece of the Detroit Lions' success and future and franchise.
Hate to see that.
You do. And how much time was left? That's the other thing. It's like, well, when do you call off the dogs? These are professional athletes, mm-hmm. and crazy stuff happens. We all saw the Super Bowl, and we've all seen, you know, the Bills' famous playoff comeback and all those things. So when is it time to call off the dogs? It's a tough balance. It's why I'm always like the Gronk injury. Oh, why is he on special teams? Well, the Patriots built a culture on stars playing on special teams and having those roles and win Super Bowls. And it's just, football is such a tough sport because you never know when that injury is going to happen to the most durable of guys, and it sucks.
Yeah, and fortunately, it seems as though Drake May escaped today, got popped a couple times as well. There was one play where they thought he was down, may have hurt his shoulder, but got back up, was in back for the next series as well.
And by the way, Harbaugh did return to the sidelines.
He did.
He has an illness, they're saying.
Oh, okay.
What kind of illness?
Oh, good. I
don't know.
I can't tell you if he's got a case of the trots, as some people like to call it, if it's bacterial or if it's viral.
You have some bad Mexican last night. It happens to the best of us.
It does. It can be any kind of food.
It's true. Italian hits me hard. I think I got a thing.
Are we going to get into your agita now? I think I got a thing.
Yeah, I think
you're listening to the
Andy. 45 minutes.
You're
left.
Listening to the Andy Hart Show, broadcasting live on WIBS Andy Hart Radio.
Yep.
Back to the phones we go. Bob is in Londonderry. Hello, Bob.
Hey guys, listen to the show. Enjoy it.
Thank you. And we enjoy having you call in.
I do call in, and most people know me. I'm kind of on the negative side, but I'll say this: the Patriots are still in a boy. They're in a real quandary. And I would never be overly optimistic. I know today was the first day. If you're relying on this guy to be whatever for the future, I'm still not sure it's going to go that way. That's all.
Well, you can't be sure. None of us are sure. We are hopeful. We see signs of things that we may be able to build upon and latch onto for the future moving forward. But I agree with that. I'm not sold that Jaden Daniels or Caleb Williams, right? Like, part of the beauty of the NFL is the truly great ones. You got to do it year after year after year after year before you enter that hierarchy of all-time greats. There's a lot of quarterbacks that have had Carson Wentz, right? Carson Wentz is a recent classic example of MVP caliber quarterback, going to take his team to the Super Bowl, huge contract, and then all of a sudden he has an injury and he never comes back from it. Right, he was mm-hmm. Carson Wentz was like a big deal. People thought he was going to be great.
Oh, he was playing at an MVP level until he tore his ACL at the Coliseum, playing the Rams, and then of course we all know what happens. Nick Foles comes in, and then Troy Vincent interferes in the Super Bowl, and they don't play Malcolm Butler, and the Patriots lose. However, he never got back on track. What a strange injury that was, because he went from playing out of his mind and looking like the next big thing to just having a good to excellent career totally derailed.
Yeah, no, so that's why, yeah, after 1 week, I'm not sure Drake May is the next big thing, but I think he has shown signs based mm-hmm. on, A, what he did today, B, yes. what he did at North Carolina, mm-hmm. and sort of the projections and the skill set and what it takes to be good in the league. He's shown signs. And the one thing I did want to differentiate, because I also saw Mego making this point on Twitter. Somebody was like, hey, Mego, yeah, we're excited about Mac Jones, too. They are just so different. They are so different.
Night and day.
Skill set, personality, style, family, makeup. There's so many things that are so different between Mac Jones and Drake May. And quite honestly, Drake May is the modern quarterback. It's why people mm-hmm. think he could be special. He has a lot of the attributes that you kind of see in modern quarterbacks, as does Jaden Daniels and as does Caleb Williams. And that's what I really am excited about. I hope this class is legit, because I was sick of hearing like, oh, yeah, you know what happens when you take a quarterback in the top five? You take another one in 3 years, because they all suck. Welcome to the tumble dryer of quarterback picking in the draft. Or you draft Joe Burrow, or you draft Patrick Mahomes, or you draft Josh Allen. And I think there's three teams atop the draft right now that think they drafted right and think they have their guy. And I think that's pretty cool.
Patriots 9 for 50 today, by the way, on penalties. We're going to go ahead and need to work on that one just a little bit. Joe's
more than we worked on it last week when they were 12 for...
Hey, 12 to 105, 9 to 50. That's progress, right, baby?
Oh, so 6 this week? We could take away 3 every week and we're back to 0
minus 3
weeks.
Penalties and minus
honestly,
50 of the yards?
Whoever commits more than one penalty in London, leave them there.
We were saying that last year.
Make them take steerage on a boat home. Were we saying that last year?
Well, we were saying, like, I'm pretty sure after the postgame show in London, you were saying everyone except
Germany.
For...
Oh, no, everyone should have had to walk home.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we're going to make that call again.
Back to the South Shore we go, my favorite place and yours. Joe's in Randolph. Hi, Joe.
Howdy, boys. Hey, you talk about Ajita. Where the hell are Bob Kraft's priorities? I mean, this team needs coaching so bad, you know, 105 yards in penalties a couple of three games in a row. What's going on? They signed the cheapest, worst coaches they can get. The coaches destroyed Mac Jones. Let's hope they don't do the same to me. And, you know, I don't know where they're going. He's building the world's largest television set and the world's largest light tower, and the team, he won't sign any real quality players. Where's his priorities? What's the man thinking about?
I think he's thinking about building a football team, and I think you will have a different tone next summer sometime. I think people will be really surprised, like you, that they have to invest in this roster. They're going to have $130 million to get up to the floor of the salary cap. They have to spend a boatload of money. I think they are going to spend a boatload of money. I think they're going to continue to draft. This kind of ties into that previous caller, too, that was like, I wish we had Adam Peters because he knows what he's doing. I don't know if Adam Peters knows what he's doing. I think Adam Peters has done what you did. He took a quarterback that was available, and the quarterback looks good so far very early in his career. I'm not sold that Adam Peters is going to make every great move. He had one.
It's like, and you know what it's like? It's like watching somebody have one or two really good hands at a casino playing blackjack, we'll say, and all of a sudden, oh, man, I gotta watch that guy, or I got to sit near that guy. That guy knows what he's doing. This guy's a card shark. He may have also just gotten some good cards.
Right. Or a gambler, like online. Oh, I won a parlay. Okay, you won a parlay. Do you win parlays all the time? Because if you tell me you win all the time, maybe I'll start listening to you. But if you show me one parlay that you won, it's a one-off. I have no idea. People win the lottery all the time. So Elliot Wolf screwed the pooch at the left tackle position. That is the one thing I continue to go back to. I think he did a terrible job.
That poor pooch, too.
Poor pooch, I agree. But other than that, he drafted what looks like a quarterback. We're all excited. One game in, we're all excited. 3 hours of football, we're all excited. We think he drafted the right quarterback, made the right decision there. They have a franchise quarterback. We don't feel great about Polk, the receiver. The offensive linemen, we'll see if Wallace and Laydon Robinson are guys. They might be contributing offensive linemen moving forward for this football team. And did you happen to see your boy, Calvin Ridley, today going off, popping off postgame?
How'd my guy Ridley do today?
Nothing. Did nothing and then was bitching about not getting targets and this is getting effing ridiculous and I need some effing targets early in effing games, swearing,
well, there's,
going off.
There's a quarterback that did not seemingly pan out because Will Levis is, correct word is ungood.
There's also an overpaid wide receiver bitching about his targets like he's Randy Moss and the Randy ratio back in Minnesota 25 years ago. Calvin Ridley, I tweeted this out, that's a $90 million bullet that the Patriots dodged. You would have wasted $90 million on him.
And this team isn't ready for a number one receiver that is
especially not that kind. He's not a number one receiver, and he bitches like he is. Like, if I'm going to put up
with... Because he got paid like he thinks he is, right. But he's not. Correct.
But if I'm going to put up with C.D. Lamb attitude or Devontae Adams attitude or one of these guys, I better get that guy, not Calvin Ridley. And that's the problem. You had to pay Calvin Ridley like he was great, and you have to deal with his diva attitude without the diva talent.
Ish.
Like, that's... And I think that's a bullet they dodge. So... This is going to continue to annoy me a little bit because I know people wanted them to spend money for the sake of spending money. Feels like my wife. I don't know how your wife is, Fitzy, and I hope my wife's not listening because she'll get mad if I say this. But anytime we have money coming in, like, I don't know, a bonus check or whatever, just newfound money, she has it spent before it even arrives in our pockets. And I think that's a terrible way to go about life and business. Just because you have money doesn't mean you need to spend it. Spend it on things that matter. Spend it on things that help your family and help your team. I don't know. Am I talking to my wife or am I talking to Robert Kraft?
I mean, you're not setting a good example when you were flirting with the callers earlier, yeah, and now you got this.
Yeah. Flirting. Jeez, can't a man say hi to a woman without it be flirting?
Is this EEI or CNBC? What are we doing?
Just because you can spend money doesn't mean you always should.
Correct. Yes. And in this particular case, spending the money would not have gotten these Patriots any further or done much of a difference. Next year, we'll see. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. The lines are loaded. Andy, I promise each and every one of these callers, Kyle, Matt, Sorja, Ray, Bob, we will get to all of you momentarily. But first, we're going to pay some bills, come back, get our Drake May report card from the Drake May Whisperer here at the station, Chris Scheim, and then carry on. We're with you till 7:30, at which point we will throw it to coverage of Sunday Night Football. And what a matchup. Bengals at Giants. Yay. It's the Six Rings Postgame Show on EEI.
Third down and five. Made in the air. Tom is tied. Running is Douglas. Touchdown. What a play. Third Drake May touchdown pass today.
A couple times today.
That for 35 yards.
The Texans bring everybody in the middle of the field with a deep safety. You can see he extends for the goal line, is able to get it across the line before coming down. So this touchdown will be confirmed and has just been confirmed.
On the line right now is the ultimate Drake May superfan. He stands him, he believes in him, he worships him, he loves him. And earlier today, I noticed several people checking in, myself included, on social media, doing a wellness check to make sure he was okay after that beautiful first 40-yard drop in the bucket, his first touchdown in the NFL, and also Kayshawn Booty's as well. I believe he apologized on social media, saying, anyone in the greater Lowell area that just heard a thunderous thud, that was just me jumping up and down like a giddy schoolgirl. It's the one and only Scheim time. Chris Scheim from the Greg Hill Morning Show with the first ever Drake May report card. All right, opening thoughts and feelings. How'd your boy do today, Scheim?
I got to be honest with you, Fitzy. I was ecstatic. Like, it wasn't the best start on the planet. That pass that he sailed over the receiver's head for that first interception was not ideal. It was not the way you wanted to start, but he bounced back strong after that, and he gave you that element of the offense that you've been looking for all season in that attack down the field. Between that absolute dime he threw to Kayshawn Booty and then even hitting DeMario Douglas over the middle of the field for that long touchdown and getting him in the end zone for his first time in his career. I was very, very pleased with what I saw from Drake May overall today. There were plenty of mistakes. Don't get me wrong. There's a lot to work on, but that's a good thing. You always need things to work on. You don't want to be perfect right out of the get-go because then it's not as fun. So he's got some things to work on, but I am very excited for what's coming up ahead.
Scheim, and as much as we like to do the I told you so game, I told you that first throw was coming. I called it the Quinn Ewers throw. Like, that was going to come. It happens with quarterbacks, young quarterbacks, rusty quarterbacks. But you also got a taste of the deep ball. You got a taste of the athleticism on the scrambles. Do you believe that he is – are you all in right now, I guess? Because we had a guy earlier, it's like, oh, I'm not sold. And I said, well – no one can know for sure. We don't know for sure Jaden Daniels is going to consistently for the next 10 years be an elite quarterback. We've seen plenty of flashes in the pan, right? Fitzy and I talked about Carson Wentz as a guy that was, his trajectory was like franchise QB, huge contract, and then the wheels fell off. Are you all in 100% even more so after what you saw today?
Yeah, prior to this game, I was without a doubt 100%. There was zero doubt in my head that Drake May would be a good NFL quarterback, and I stand firm on that today. I wouldn't say I'm justified in that because, again, I understand if people have concerns, but at the same time, like, that first interception wasn't ideal, right? He sailed it over the guy's head. We all acknowledge that, but it wasn't like one of those Will Levis plays like where you look at him and you go, dude, what on earth are you thinking? it wasn't anything stupid. And I think that's kind of what I take away, right? The turnovers weren't dumb decisions. They were just, it was just a, bad footwork, bad release. He sailed right. That pass. Oh, well, it happens. Another one was bad at the line of scrimmage because DeMontre Jacobs, whoever the left tackle was at the time, couldn't hold the block, and Will Anderson was a behemoth in this game. And then the strip sack, he probably should have gotten the ball out, but at the same time, he was under pressure. So, like, again, not a horrible decision. So, yeah, I stand completely firm with where I'm at. I still believe Drake May is going to be an elite quarterback in the NFL here, and we are working towards that with his first start today.
That's got to be one of the more, and I don't have every single Patriots starting quarterback of all time stats and numbers in front of me. I know Steve Buckley did a nice little piece this week on The Athletic, taking a look back at how Patriots starters did. I can tell you, I was at Brady's first start, Mac Jones' first start. Brady won, Mac Jones didn't win. I've seen a number of these before. None of them left me as impressed as I was. Like, the team may have been more impressive, but none of them left me as impressed as this was. What would you say you give him the highest mark for today, Shime, on the report card? And what does he get his lowest mark for?
Yeah, his highest mark, without a doubt, is his athleticism, right? His decisions to run the football, his aggressiveness in running the football, but he also wasn't stupid in that aggressiveness, right? He wanted to get the first downs, but he also didn't put himself in danger. He didn't put himself at risk. He wasn't taking any dumb hits. So I think overall his athletics and his decision-making in general, I think, was good. Even on that pass where he sailed it over the receiver's head, like, that was the right read. He just made a bad throw. He made a couple of those. There was a pass over the middle to Pop Douglas that was just, he just put way too much mustard on it, led Pop Douglas just a little bit too much. Otherwise, it would have been a completion similar to what was the touchdown completion to Pop Douglas. And so I think decision-making-wise overall today, Drake May was really, really good. I would grade that somewhere in the B-plus range. I think overall his decision-making was his highest skill, and I would say mechanics-wise was probably his lowest. Again, the sailed pass, some of the footwork. He was bailing out of throws. One of the throws down the sideline, I want to say it was to Polk. I can't remember exactly. He kind of bailed falling backwards when he really didn't need to. He could have stepped into it and made a little bit of a better throw. So I'd say mechanics was probably where he, I guess, failed the most. But I wouldn't even use failed. Like, there's just things I want to clean up. I expected him to look similar to Caleb Williams did in his first game, and he was way better than that. Like, way, way better than that. Yeah, he was in over his head a little bit there to start. But after that touchdown pass, like, I felt like, even on that drive leading up to the first touchdown pass, I felt like he was finally finding a rhythm, finally starting to cook. And he was very, very good for a rookie quarterback in his first start.
Shime, I think one of the biggest challenges, honestly, that Drake May is going to face is schematic. And what I mean by that is this scheme going to be the scheme he's in later in the season, in his second season, Alex Van Pelt? So I'm wondering where you stand on that, because obviously you don't want to go any further or longer with a coach, coordinator, play caller that isn't good, but you also don't necessarily want to go down the road of changing play callers and offensive coordinators with young quarterbacks, because that is a very swift way to ruin young quarterbacks. So where do you stand on that relationship for now and moving forward into next year?
Yeah, I don't love what I saw today. Correct me if I'm wrong, we really didn't get a single, like, RPO all day. I don't think there was a single designed quarterback run.
Nope.
And so I look at that, and I immediately question, like, what are we doing? I thought there was way too much play action in a game where your running game wasn't working. I felt like when he was in shotgun and you would just spread him out and go five wide and kind of hit those quick outs, quick slants, let him roll out to the right and find Hunter Henry just sitting in the middle of a zone, that's when he played his best today. And I don't feel like Alex Van Pelt focused on what he was doing well in the game. I felt like he was watching him. He saw what he did well in the first half and then completely just ignored it in the second half again. Right? Drake May showed rhythm once he got into tempo. And that's one of the things I say, as I was never a Josh McDaniels guy, but like, he would have recognized that his young quarterback was working well in tempo and incorporated that in the second half, and they just didn't. And I feel like Van Pelt is just like sticking to his little like dinky playbook and not getting creative or anything. I felt like it was very vanilla. I was not a fan. I don't expect a change to come anytime soon, but with Ben McAdoo in the building, I wouldn't be stunned if something changes over the next 3 to 4 weeks.
Am I really sitting here between the two presiding members of the Ben McAdoo fan club? Holy smokes.
Well, I mean, it's not so much
fan club, but he made Eli Manning pretty good.
Right, and he has a track record. He has experience, and it's really no different than the switch from Brissett to May. You didn't think Brissett was doing a very good job, and you had an option to turn to. If Alex Van Pelt's not doing the job, you have an experienced, proven play caller who's literally on staff in the building and has been here the entire offseason. It's sort of just the obvious topic to bring up, even though Gerard Mayo shot it down when he was asked about it last week.
Hey, Shime, before we get you rolling, let me get a... I want to ask, how do you do on his props, and then give me an overall first final grade?
I think we hammered every single prop, like every one of them. He cleared all of the passing props, 150, 175, 200, cleared all of those, hit one passing touchdown, and even gave you a second and a third one just on top if you decided to go a little extra. He hit his 25-plus yards rushing. He hit the closing line of, I believe it was 28.5 yards rushing, led the team in rushing at 38. I think the only thing I didn't get to was Drake May, 40-plus rushing yards, missed that by two, which is fine, and an anytime touchdown. Outside of that, he hit every prop in the business. And it was a great way to capitalize on a situation where the books weren't sure how the rookie was going to come out.
Yeah, I think we agreed here on the show. We gave him a B, but not an 83, an 86, maybe even an 80, like right before the B-plus range.
Yeah, I am sitting firmly at a B. I would have said an 85 was kind of my grade today, right? Okay. Again, there's a few things to clean up. And things that you're going to have to learn from. But overall, when you look at the other rookie quarterbacks who right now are all playing really, really well, he played better than all three of them did in their very first games. And I take a lot of pride in that. I'm happy about that. I think that's a great stepping stone to start your career with. And I'm excited for the rest of the season because I think it's only going to go up from here.
Same, my man. Same. You can listen to him each and every morning as he helps produce the Greg Hill Show here on WEEI. He'll be part of Patriots Monday tomorrow, and he'll join me Thursday evening for the WEEI evening program, as well as the Afternoon Delight next Saturday from 12 to 3. Shime, you're the best kid. Looking forward to each and every Drake May report card throughout the season.
I appreciate you, boys. Enjoy the mayhem the rest of the evening.
That's right. It has been amazing, to say the least. I'm just happy, you know, honestly, Andy, that, you know, all that faith that Shime put in Drake May feels validated today. Like, he deserves a very small victory lap.
I would say, I mean, it would be sort of a big group running, because there were a lot of people that loved Drake May. Like, Drake May has had a lot of supporters. Unfortunately, he didn't have enough of them, apparently, inside the walls of Gillette Stadium to get him on the field sooner. But most media members, most fans, like, a lot of people really loved him in the draft, leading up to the draft, and certainly after the summer, most people wanted to see him play. So, Shime can run. Shime can hold the torch, and we'll all run behind him as part of the maniac crew.
Nice to have a little hope back in Boston sports, or rather Patriots Nation, and some faith rewarded. 617-779-7937. When we come back, home stretch here on another dynamic, exciting Six Rings postgame show. The rest of your calls, thumbs up, thumbs down, the Cars for Kids player of the game. And do not forget, it's all brought to you by our friends at McFarland Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil delivery, as well as expert HVAC services at McFarlandEnergy.com. Six Rings postgame show on EEI, right back.
Jesse, calm down.
Someone in the audience probably got that reference.
It's the pills, Jesse.
Remember that scene from Saved by the Bell, Andy?
Not really.
Didn't think so. You probably weren't much of a Saved by the Bell guy, were you?
Oh, no, I like Saved by the Bell.
Yeah?
Yeah. I watched those. My memory is toast. I don't remember anything.
Okay, perfect. CTE setting in?
Absolutely.
See, I get the excuse of being young. Mm-hmm. Until you said the pills, I was like, oh, now I know that scene.
Now you remember that scene. I'm so excited. That's me right now. Excited, but also in tears. Home stretch of the Six Rings postgame show here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. If you missed any of the show, of course, you can always subscribe to the podcast. You can check us out in the Six Rings feed and use the Odyssey app if you like. AUDACY. Download the app and use it today, and make sure you never miss anything that you love about your favorite sports station, WEEI. In this home stretch here, we're going to give you the Cars for Kids player of the game, Andy's thumbs up, thumbs down, the rest of your calls, and a few other news, notes, nuggets, rumblings, and bumblings. Back to the phones we go. Andy, let's clean them up. One of our faves, Sorja, down in Mansfield, is on the line. Hello, Sorja.
What's going on today? How are we?
I'm doing well. I'm very curious. As a P1 to the station, as well as a Boston sports super fan, how did you walk away from Drake May's debut?
You know, I'm feeling a little encouraged. You know, we know that mistakes were going to be made. I think a lot of times you got to put everything in perspective, right? Mm. So, fun stat right off the bat.
Love a fun
Drake
stat.
Drake May threw for more TD passes today than Jacoby Brissett did all of this year. Mm. So we always talk about floor / ceiling, right? Putting Drake May in this week was definitely the best decision. And I'm actually coming away with it actually very encouraged, right? We saw when the decision was made, right? Everyone was saying, why didn't you throw him in against the Dolphins, right? Well, mm-hmm. now that you went up against this juggernaut Texas defense, who has basically only allowed over 200 yards passing to Anthony Richardson, who Josh Allen went 9 of 30 against, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now you're going to London. You're going to be able to play a Jags defense that just gave up 35 to the Bears. And, you know, I am walking away really encouraged. And, you know, Hart, I do actually want to agree with you on one point here, because you talked about the spending, right? I think that we're definitely going to spend in this offseason, and it's a matter of spending on the right guy, right? We had that offseason where we spent all this money and we didn't really come up, we came up short, right? We didn't have nothing to show for. So I definitely like what I saw from Drake May today. I think we're going to be able to clean up those mistakes. And the last thing I'll say is the drive before the half, how he was basically able to go the length of the field in like under a minute, like even veteran QBs, there are a lot of QBs that can't do that. So, you know, Wiggy said it on the morning show that you were looking for those moments. We saw yes. a lot of those moments, and the main thing is to not see the same mistakes today as we see moving week to week, but hopefully we have our, you know, QB of the future, and I'll look forward to hearing from you guys. Take care now.
Thank you, Sorgia. Listen, it's probably a little early to say he's certified, bona fide, stamped as QB1 of the future. Encouraging start, for sure. It's not necessarily Drake mayhem, as we've been pumping up here at the station. At times, he was amazing. And, of course, Andy is our resident maniac, along with Chris Scheim. But I think if you're anything, like we said earlier from that tweet we shared, if you're anything less than encouraged, you're a jackass. Or at least
Absolutely.
you're being a contrarian for the sake of it, which some people like, Andy, just not me.
Yeah, I'm not into that fake crap. So I would say this, the 2-minute drive, I think it looked good in part because that's what Drake May is good at.
Mm-hmm.
He likes just kind of dropping back, throwing the ball, dropping back, throwing the ball, knows what he's doing. That is what he's made for. I've said it. I think he's a competitor. I think when he thinks less and plays more, he's better. I think where he's going to face his challenges are some of the easy throws, some of the more fine-tuning aspects of his game that he find that are more challenging to him in a way, when he can't just be an athlete and let his natural athleticism and ability take over and just sort of play backyard football. And that's where I think it's on Alex Van Pelt to develop him, but also to develop whatever the system and scheme is going to. Remember when Bill Belichick said, for 20 years, everything we did was about Tom Brady and supporting Tom Brady?
Yeah,
and then he said,
was, yeah.
Now it'll be about supporting Mac Jones. Well, he didn't do that. He could not have further veered away from the truth of supporting Mac Jones by putting a defensive coach as his coordinator and all those other things. Now it's about Gerard Mayo, Elliot Wolf, Alex Van Pelt, supporting Drake May in every way possible. The right linemen, the right receivers, the right scheme.
I think
right
it's best for the football team.
Yeah. Well, the best for the football team right now is to get the most out of Drake May, maximize Drake May mm-hmm. every week for the rest of the season, and then more importantly, moving forward into future seasons. And we'll see how they go about that.
You should run the risk of Drake May ultimately not being your guy if you believe that he is now, and start investing assets. Start your rest of season into next year and possibly season after that build. Look to the people that you can grab on the line, the receivers, fortify your defense.
But the right people, too.
I'm not just spending money willy-nilly, because we went over that earlier, that they didn't with the Calvin Ridleys and the Brandon Ayuks, et cetera.
the right people that fit him, fit his the scheme that you think is. That's where I start with.
That's another
Alex
question.
Van Pelt.
Yes, sir. That's another big question, like, Andy.
I don't know if Alex Van Pelt is the long-term answer as offensive coordinator, and more importantly, not just coordinator, but like the architect of the offense, like putting the right mm-hmm. offense in place for Drake May and then game planning for it each and every week. I think those are conversations that have to be had in the coming weeks and maybe have to be had, you know, in the coming months, like when you get to January. And I keep going back to Gerard Mayo when he introduced his coaching staff. He said, and not all these guys might be here next year. Like, a lot of coaches nope. make mistakes putting staffs together, and you have to kind of fix those in the coming years. And we'll see where the – because that's – now that you believe Drake May is probably – I won't say certainly, but probably the guy at mm-hmm. quarterback – now you got to find out how to get the most out of Drake May, and the first part of that is his personal coach.
With talent, and especially, most importantly, yes, agreed, the scheme as well. Let's go down to the 203. Thomas is in Connecticut. How are you, Thomas?
Hey, I'm doing all right. How are you, Stephen?
Good to have you on the show, pal. What's up?
Hey, so just want to echo kind of what you guys were talking about. I'm also really encouraged from what I saw by Drake May today. I think the thing that really was encouraging more than anything else, it wasn't just three TDs. It was the three TDs in lieu of multiple turnovers. You know, by comparison, you know, in watching Mac Jones, one of the things that let me know he wasn't the guy was his flow was dictated by how well he started out. Like, if he yes. had a bad turnover or two, he just spiraled down, and the game was... And he took himself out of the game mentally. Drake, that first pick was a bad pick. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. that was like, man, like, you gotta hit the guy. But it was like nothing to him. He just kept moving with it. And next, I think it was the next drive or the drive after that, bang, hit him with a nice TD pass. And, you know, and not even all the turnovers were his fault. That fumble by Austin Hooper, we've had ball security issues all year. That's why Ramondre's not out there right now. The other thing that's kind of been alarming to me from a coaching standpoint is the lack of discipline I've seen this season from both the offensive and defensive units. Penalties are crazy, and we're not known for beating ourselves like that. So I think that's another thing that we really have to shore up that'll help see Drake and the boys be more successful.
Appreciate the call, Thomas. Thanks very much for checking in. Yeah, that comp is going to get made a lot, Andy, between Mac Jones and Drake May, and that mm-hmm. I think Thomas was looking to describe like his demeanor, like, you know, obviously, you know, the quick game effing sucks and all the pouting and the yelling that Mac Jones did. I don't think it'll take a lot. I think to get the histrionics out of Drake May, we may never even see it. Maybe he just has.
That's just how sports work.
Yeah, well, maybe he's just sort of got a way of locking into a certain zone. That doesn't allow him to, again, one game does not a whole season, a career, or a profile make. However, I think we got a good glimpse at it, and we've gotten some peeks at it before. We hadn't really seen that much of Mac Jones earlier. Let's also hope that the Patriots don't give this guy four different coordinators over four different years.
Well, I'd also say that I believe the Patriots when they say they liked the way that Drake May handled some adversity at North Carolina last year. And opportunities to maybe throw teammates and offensive linemen under the bus and make excuses why things weren't going as well. And he didn't do it because he's dealt with adversity. First of all, he's dealt with growing up in a family of boys, which I think is a tremendous advantage that he probably doesn't even know he has. The types of things he went through growing up in that household that led to portions of his personal development, but also athletic development and character. He's not wound as tight as Mac Jones was. Mac Jones was wound too tight. It was kind of obvious from the get-go, and then the more things went bad, the worse it got. But I will say, you know my phrase, losing is undefeated. If today's a day where Drake May lost, but it was the first time, and he feels good about the way he played on some level, when you go 5-6 games in a row and you throw more picks than touchdowns and things start to pile up and people are asking, you know, should Drake May be benched and is he not good enough, and you start being called a bust and things of that nature, then we'll find out how he handles adversity. Then we'll find out what kind of mental makeup he has, or we could just do the other thing and he could just be good and he could just be go in a positive trajectory, like developmental.
Yeah, I like RPOs. They're cool.
Hey, yeah, Andy, if you for cool. people that like points, downfield passing games, and exciting football, how about this from Next Gen Stats? Drake May's first career touchdown pass to Kayshon Boutte, 40-yard touchdown, traveled 51.7 yards in the air, the longest completion by a Patriots quarterback over the last three seasons. Mm-hmm. How you like them apples?
Yeah.
I do.
They haven't had much of a downfield
passing
attack.
No, we haven't. Nope, not
at even
all.
Rotten ones. Not even crab apples, those little ones that are kind of tart and you can't even bite out of. None of them.
Dave's our final caller here on the show tonight. Hi, Dave. Hello, Dave.
Hey, you got me?
What's up, Dave? How are you?
No, it's Jay from Connecticut.
Oh, Jay from Connecticut. Okay, Jay, Dave, sorry
there
about that.
There you go. Hey, there you go.
There
all
we
right,
go.
All right.
All right, all right. What's up, buddy?
All right. All right. So, listen, I got to say, listen, you have to understand, most of your callers and most of the people on this station only know NFL football. They don't know real football, okay? Go back and look at the score. Come on. It's 41-21. You really think Drake May made a world of difference?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. It's like you're playing with a different quarterback. You're playing with a different quarterback with the same line, with the same offensive coordinator. I don't care if you have Patrick Mahomes in there. This is going to be the same Patriot team, what you've seen in week two going forward.
Well, it wasn't,
I mean,
though.
You guys,
wait, Jay. Okay, Jay, stop for a second. Stop for a second, Jay. Stop for a second. Jay, can we have a conversation?
No, we got to let him go. Jay, I appreciate the call, but
Jay's
the same
a jackass.
Let's have a
conversation.
It's a two-way dialogue, my friend. Okay?
It's not just you rant and say things that aren't true.
We're trying to also isolate his performance from the team's performance.
I don't give a rat's ass about isolation.
No.
All I know is he threw three touchdown passes against a good defense. Jacoby Brissett threw two touchdown passes in five games, some of it against crappy defenses. So don't tell me it didn't change at the quarterback position. He pushed the ball down the field like Jacoby Brissett couldn't or wouldn't. He was a better quarterback today than Jacoby Brissett has been. So you can take your arrogant, pompous, oh, you people don't know real football. I don't know what the hell you're talking about, but I've watched football at all levels all my life. I've been involved with football all my life. Like, I watch a lot of football. I see quarterbacks change things, and I saw a quarterback change things today, make plays. So don't tell me it was the same damn product that we've been seeing. We've addressed those other issues. Yes, the long-term development of this team will revolve around the scheme and the players around him and everything else. But the reality is, you got different, more productive, more optimistic quarterback play today than you've gotten previously this season. Okay?
Boy, howdy. Well said, Andy.
Now, Jay could respond to that if he wasn't such a jackass and had stayed on the line and we could have had a conversation, which I would have enjoyed because I actually like debating people and having discussions. But he just wanted to get up on his high horse and just rant.
A debate also needs to be a two-way street. It can't just
right.
be you drive to the end of the street, then I'll drive back. Like, we have to, there's got to be a give and take and a bob and a weave to it. And unfortunately, he just had a little too much pep in his step on that one. All right, Andy, we got just
call back next week,
left.
Though, Jay. Love you, man.
Yes, Jay, we'll appreciate the call. We will not call you Dave
from
Connecticut
next week.
Oh,
and he's driving back listeners one after another.
One after another.
No, I want to have a discussion. We're a community, and the community is growing and growing positive. Don't you feel that? That little buzz of positivity that we haven't had in a while? I kind of like that. I like that feeling. It's giving me a little juice.
It's tingly.
Yeah, like gym class rope climbing tingly.
All right, and before it gets any more awkward, let's quickly get to Andy's thumbs up and thumbs down. 4 minutes left in the program. Don't forget, we have to squeeze in the Cars for Kids player of the game. Good sir.
So, thumbs up, not a great list. I'm going to start with Drake May, because with the turnovers, yes, he changed the vibe of the team. He changed the passing game. That one play for the touchdown to Booty, tremendous, but that wasn't the only one. I thought you saw growth, as he mentioned, on the crossers. Crosser for interception. Ooh, that's a bad throw. Crosser behind him for a completion, but hurt the run after catch. Not a great throw. Ooh, crosser in stride, touchdown. That was developmental growth from your quarterback. Drake May, thumbs up. Bryce Behringer, because he gets to do it every week. He averaged like 50 yards a kick again. Dude punts, great. He's growing a mustache. Not sure what I think of it, but his punting is tremendous.
He's not alone, at least.
No. Brendan Schooler continued to be a good part of the special teams. Their third down defense I thought was pretty good. Pop Douglas, which I don't know how I feel about that.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm rewarding the kid who has the temper tantrum in the aisle at the grocery store. And now like, now I'm going to give you a candy bar and you feel like you won this game, you little brat. But Pop Douglas is better. Pop Douglas is part of the passing game. Thank you, Drake May. Now the down arrows.
Mm-hmm.
DeMontre Jacobs, the offensive line in totality, they just continue to be an issue. The pass protection wasn't great. The penalties weren't great. You mentioned it earlier, Fitzy. We could start making up games or charitable donations every time they line up wrong or commit a penalty, and we would do some great work across New England. Antonio Gibson, I didn't really like the way he ran. I'm not saying there were a ton of opportunities there, but I didn't love the way he ran. I thought he danced around too much early.
Hit the hole. Exactly. North-south.
Damn right. Penalties, much weighted towards the first half. I think it was 7 in the first half, if I remember correctly, but very much weighted to the first half. They got to clean it up, figure it out. You should feel like crap for having that many penalties. Austin Hooper, you guys were talking about the interception that he played a role in, but that was a minor part. The fumble, and you know what I didn't like about that fumble is it was like he was trying to be too much. He was trying to do too much. You're not the kind of guy that should be putting the ball down on the field and running and spinning and doing all these things. You're a journeyman backup tight end. Sometimes you need to know when the battle is over. Polk, catch the ball, mix in some catches, much like Mangini needed to mix in a salad at Gillette once upon a time.
Oh!
And the run defense. You can't be giving up multiple 50. So we add big plays to the passing game. And then we add big plays allowed to the rushing defense. I don't. Why are we going to do that to balance it out? Is that like a yin and yang thing? The universe always has to be in balance. I don't like that. Devon Godshaw and company, you should feel like crap. You weren't good enough in run defense. And that's about it. Anybody else I need to throw in there?
No, I think that's it. And on your up list as well, I would just like to add in this nice little positive because we need more positive than negative in this world, let alone on the show and in Pat's Nation, from our pal Andrew Callahan. On Twitter a couple hours ago, he had a photo of Pop Douglas holding his touchdown ball, the first ball he ever caught in the NFL for a touchdown. Damar Douglas kept the football he caught on his first career NFL touchdown, quote, "I'm sleeping with it tonight." Good for him. Good for him. Good for you, guy. All right. Cars for Kids player of the game. Cars for Kids, the easiest way to get rid of your old car. Donate today and your car can be picked up tomorrow. Donate now at Cars for Kids. That's cars with a K, .com. Very simple, Andy. Drake May is your Cars for Kids player of the game. An excellent, not stellar, but an excellent debut, surpassing expectations, but most importantly, some flash, some pop, and giving Pats fans hope once again. Could we ask for much more on this day, sir?
Excitement, entertainment value, hope for the future, potential. Oh my, it's all there.
Good job, Andy. You can follow him at Jumbo Heart. He'll be part of the WEEI Afternoon Show each and every day this week. Listen to him with Christian Arcan 2 to 6. Patriots Monday tomorrow. Players, coaches, and coordinators galore. I'll be on tomorrow night, 6 to 7:30 with Mego. And as always, if you like the show, tell Braverman. And if you didn't like it, blame Joe. That'll do for the Six Rings postgame show here on WEEI. Always a pleasure being a part of your Sunday afternoons and your after party following Patriots games. We'll talk to you soon. Next week, we're on 12:30 to 3:30 following Patriots versus Jags from London. Have a great night, everybody.
I'm a make Dre guy.